Okay, I'm going to bring the Senate State Affairs to order. The time is 3:35, and it's Thursday, March 15th. And with us today is Senator Coghill, Senator Wilson, Senator Egan, and Senator Giesel is excused. My trusty staff, Christine Marsegan, is here, as well as our Senate records clerk has come back again. Thank you, Chris. And, well, we lost our LIO monitor. We have a new one. Cody Grusendorf. So thank you guys for helping us today. And on today's agenda, we do just have one bill, Senate Bill. House Bill 150, sorry. Which is pay allowances and benefits for members of the organized militia. And we thought we might have some other bills to bring up under previously heard, but they're not quite ready yet. So why don't we, if there's nothing to come before the committee, why don't we go ahead and go right into House Bill 150. If the Majority Leader, Representative Tuck, would like to join us, as well as his trustee staff, Kendra. And if you could maybe tell us what the bill does, and then give us a sectional analysis, that would be great. So, Representative Tuck, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for hearing House Bill 150. This is a, but for the record, this is Representative Chris Tuck from District 23, South Central Anchorage, and along with me is my Chief of Staff, Kendra Kloster. And I will turn it over to Ms. Kloster to explain some of those provisions in House Bill 150. This is, just a reminder, but this is a House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. I'm sorry, this is a committee bill from the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs that the administration asked us to move forward for them.
For the record, Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Tuck. As mentioned, House Bill 150, it's a series of bills. It's part of it of kind of cleaning up our Title 26 statutes that the department had brought forward to us. So with this one, House Bill 150 will streamline the accounting system for the organized militia and their pay structure. Our current pay structure is a little bit difficult, so I'm just going to bring an example. We have a member of our Alaska State Defense Force that may help us. The State Defense Force is a voluntary organization that kind of backs up the Air Guard, Army Guard, when we have a disaster that we may need assistance with. So they may come up and they may have two different duties that they do in a day. So they may be answering phones or directing traffic. And so in order to figure out their pay system, they have to look and figure out what the pay is for someone directing traffic. Then the other part of the day, they're going to have to figure out how much we would reimburse them for answering phones. And so the accounting system gets a little bit difficult when you're trying to keep track of hours, where people are, and this is a number of people that you're trying to keep track of in their hours. So it just takes a lot of time, a lot of accounting. So what this bill does is streamline that and say, we're going to pay them this set amount, depending on, you know, what their rank is essentially. So how we would do it even with our state employees. You know, our state employees, you have a range that you're at, and that's what you get paid all the time. So that's what we want to do with this bill. The fiscal note is saying indeterminate. However, the department does believe with this system they would be maybe even saving a little bit of money because we won't be spending as much time trying to figure out the accounting and what people are being paid. This also helps create stability for our soldiers. They're going to know what they're being paid rather than each time it's going to be different depending on what they're doing. So it creates more stability. And I believe online we should have Deputy Commissioner Dole or Colonel John James of the Alaska State Defense Force who are kind of my backup and the know-it-all, so they're there for more information. They also provided charts that might help give some examples. For example, looking at the Sockeye Fire and under the old system, and then also what it would be under the new system, just so you can see how it would actually work and go into effect. Some people might be paid a little bit lower, some a little bit higher, but I know at the State Defense Force, they really just are looking for the stability there. So even if someone's getting paid a little bit lower, they seem to be okay with that, and they did bring it forward to us. So I guess with that, I'll leave it to see if there are any questions.
All righty. Any questions? Senator Coghill?
Sure. Okay, dumb question first, right? So in Section 2, we just take Alaska State Defense Force and say organized militia. Is that to be more inclusive, or what's the intention for that?
Senator Coghill, through the chair, just for reference so folks know, too, the organized militia, so when we go in through and we're cleaning up our statutes, organized militia consists of four entities, Air Guard, Army Guard, Alaska State Defense Force, Alaska Naval Militia. Naval Militia and the State Defense Force are volunteer organizations. However, we do pay them when they go on state active duty. And in the course of our essentially cleanup bills, we have been changing that terminology all over to make sure that it is inclusive and more inclusive. That we're using the same terms and making sure that everyone is included. A lot of these statutes are from 1950s, so that's, like I say, additional cleanup that we are continuing to try to do to our statutes.
I told you it was a top-level dumb question.
That wasn't too bad.
That was good.
Do you have any more, Senator Carter?
I will in a minute, unless somebody else, if somebody else has a question.
Okay, Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you. So looking at some of the Sockeye Fire and the old and the new, has the Defense Force commented upon the folks, I guess, in the new schedule under some of these ranges would actually get paid less? Has that any issues with that or any folks in opposition of the new pay schedule?
I believe Colonel John James is on the line, which I might punt that question. He is commander there of the Alaska State Defense Force, so let him answer that.
Yeah, he is online, so we'll save that question. Senator Wilson, anything else? Okay, Senator Coghill, back to you.
So just the implementation process. So let's just say this goes into law. Is there any retroactive? Is there anything that we have to do to catch up with where we're at? I don't think we've had any activity that would require that, but I just thought I'd ask if the transition period is thought of.
And Senator Coghill, through the chair, again, I'm going to send that to my lifelines out there for Bob Dole, not that I know of, but I would like to get his clarification on that.
Okay, very good. So did you, maybe you did the sectional analysis as you did your orientation. Is there anything else you wanted to add on the sectionals?
Senator Meyer, I think I touched on pretty much everything, unless there was additional questions, but I think I don't have anything else to add
okay.
to that,
Mr.
unless
there's
specific
yeah, very
questions.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Senator Coghill.
If I would have had followed her on the sectional, I would have had her explain the Section 1, because that's where you take, it looks like, the more arcane methodology and make it a simple. So maybe a little explanation on that at a higher level. Mainly because we're going to go to 2605070, which I'm going to go look at here in a minute. But it looks like you're replacing arcane language with a simple language. Arcane, I mean, more complicated, right?
Correct. Senator Coghill, through the chair, you're exactly correct. We are repealing that section, which is a lot longer if you look at it in 2605260B, which goes into how our current structure is of saying, like, so, yes, we're just repealing that language on how essentially we're doing that, putting it into saying now we're going to pay our members of the armed forces based on their grade and rank. And so it takes out a lot of that old language, which is what our current statute is paying for the different duties. So we just take all that out and say now we're going to pay you by grade and rank instead.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
Just on that, then. Name and rank are always going to be required in this, because if we have volunteers, they are going to have to be a credible assigned rank then, right?
Senator Coghill, through the chair, yes. And if you want more explanation on that and how they might do it, I would also say Colonel John James with the Alaska State Defense Force is online to help with explanations on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Thank you, Senator Coghill. And I have a question as well, and it may be better for one of these folks. I'm just curious how often the governor had to call our militia into active duty. Do we know that, or is that a question for one of the? Okay. All right. Thank you, Kendra. All right. Any other questions for the sponsor, Representative Tuck, or his trusty staff? Okay. Then let's go to public testimony. And again, I'm not sure if you wanted to testify or if you just were online to answer questions. And we did have some questions that were reflected to you. So if you want to go ahead and answer those. So let me start with Brian Duffy. Brian, did you want to testify or did you want to provide any answers?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Brian Duffy, Admin Services Director for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs at Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson up near Anchorage. And I would defer, much as Kendra had, to my cohorts in crime, our Deputy Commissioner and Colonel James, here in the room with us, available to answer your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Then let's go to Bob. Bob Dole, I have you next on the list, Deputy Commissioner.
Through the Chair, for the record, Deputy Commissioner Bob Dole, I'll attempt to just answer the questions except for the one in terms of the ASDF perspective on these bills, which this bill, which I'll have Colonel James address. First, there would be no retroactive provisions that we envision. This would be from the point that this bill is signed going forward, we would implement these changes. We're not going to go back and do the math for past events, frankly, because many of these events were federal disasters as well. It would wreak havoc with trying to adjust the billing we did to FEMA for reimbursement or other entities, so it would be just going forward. Second, this is a issue for us of pay simplification. Right now, if we have people in uniform show up from the Alaska Organized Militia, those four components Ms. Kloster talked about, there is subject to three different pay systems, those for which the federal government is authorized responding in a federal status or getting federal pay and allowances, those under the current system that are in state active duty from the National Guard are getting 200% of their basic military pay but no allowances, and those in the Alaska State Defense Force are looking task by task, hour by hour, what it comes out to in the equivalent state system. Of note also, for those Alaska State Defense Force members, they're not overtime exempt, so we incur overtime costs if they're on duty more than 7.5 hours a day. And that's frankly a luxury for a disaster. We frequently have to work our staff longer than that. So we support this bill as addressing, simplifying things, easing reimbursement, and creating one understanding of what somebody's going to get paid when they come out there. In terms of when the governor has called out the militia or the adjutant general, wildland fires are the most recent cases where the Alaska State Defense Force has come forward to assist with shelter management and other tasks of that regard. The Alaska National Guard and the Alaska State Defense Force did deploy south to assist with the hurricanes. However, those costs incurred were 100%. They were reimbursed by other states or the federal government. Absent further questions from the committee, we can have Colonel James address that last question for you, sir.
Mr. Dole, you said assist in the hurricane. Was that at Houston or Puerto Rico or both?
Mr. Chair, Deputy Commissioner Dole, that was all of the above, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, as well as Texas and Florida. We have some forces respond federally down there. I'd point out our rescue forces got to Texas before those from New York and California just to brag a little, but however, we responded to all of those.
Okay.
100% federally or other states reimbursed.
Great. Well, we appreciate that. And I'm just skimming over a letter here that you sent us pertaining to this bill, and it's your thoughts too. If I'm reading this correctly, I think your comment is we're confident DMVA will land slightly on the good side of cost neutral. So I'm assuming that means we'll come out ahead a little bit rather than cost us more. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Our expectation is we'll come out ahead. However, you don't have a standing force for all disasters. Each one you task organized to meet specific needs. However, when we look overall, we believe we'll come out slightly ahead of what the draw will be from the Disaster Relief Fund and federal funds. I would also note what we know now we didn't know then when we sent that letter is it really eases reimbursement if everyone's on the same compensation system. We're confident we will get paid far faster for reimbursement from other entities, be it other states where we're helping out or the federal government in a federal disaster in Alaska.
Okay, great. And then continue to look at your letter here, and you mentioned something about an automated approach until the state adopts a more automated approach to issuing warrants. Maybe you can explain that to me.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is Brian Duffy again, Admin Services Director. So, to put it bluntly, it's a manual calculation of the pay scales in advance of members being put into active service. And then upon their return, it's a manual calculation to figure out what in fact they're owed. Because on any given day and in any given hour of any given day, they may be performing different and unique tasks that require, you know, research back to what it means to be an admin troop for 4 hours, what it means to be a truck driver for 3 hours, what it means to be some other category of work, perhaps labor, trade, craft, doing facility maintenance repair for some portion of that day or the next day. And so working those eaches through each individual's duration of state active duty is the part that becomes extraordinarily cumbersome. What this proposal intends to do then is really make it a pay rate times time equals pay amount, and much, much greater simplification. So if you look at any potential benefit due the members as a result of that change, it will be automatically offset by the tremendous ease and administrative burden that's associated. That's why we think we'll be on the good side of revenue neutral.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, that's all the questions I have. Senator Coghill?
Thank you, and this may be for Bob Dole or the admin, but on Section 4, you're talking about this pay that is simplified, but it also says the same benefits provided for state employees under Title 39. Is that pay benefits primarily, or what else is accrued? Because are there ways to start and stop other benefits?
Through the chair, Representative Coghill, that addresses the other, besides the pay, the other primary benefit there would be workers' comp coverage, we believe.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, excellent. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, Bob will give you a break for now and go on then to the commander of Alaska State Defense Force. Mr. James.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Colonel Alaska John C. James, Commander of the Alaska State Defense Force, and very much appreciate this opportunity to provide testimony regarding House Bill 150. The Alaska State Defense Force is extremely supportive of House Bill 150. This proposal would provide equal pay for equal services when members of the Alaska State Defense Force are activated for state service. The current pay system is confusing, complex, and multifarious. It requires arduous and tedious efforts by several employees, which takes far too much time. It is not uncommon for it to take 4 to 6 weeks for a soldier to receive pay after the completion of one's services. The bill would simplify, streamline, and hasten these efforts, and the end result would be better and more responsive care taken for our soldiers. Very much appreciate this opportunity. And if I could address through the chair Senator Wilson's concern, yes, sir, we have reviewed that, and we believe that there is a slight difference, but we are not concerned with the difference and that it is so slight. Subject to your questions, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you, Colonel, and please accept my apologies for not recognizing you as Colonel John James. So,
sorry.
I'm just reading off the screen here, and it just said... Okay, so is there any questions for the Commander Colonel? Senator Wilson, your question answered adequately? Okay. Okay, well, I appreciate the three of you for joining us today and answering the questions we may have. And that is, looks like that's everyone who wanted to testify or signed up. I don't think there's anyone here in the room. Maybe Senator Gardner does. Welcome, Senator Gardner. With that, then, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. And, you know, I think we'll take a brief at ease. Okay, we're back. So we'll bring the bill. We had public testimony. We'll bring the bill back before the committee for additional questions. Senator Coghill.
Thank you. And this will be for the sponsor. The way I understand it, this is all volunteer forces. There's no bargaining units involved that would be affected by this.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, that's correct. That only time that they get paid is when they're actually called into active duty.
Thank you. I like the bill. I just don't know if I like the sponsor.
Did I say that on record?
Yeah, I apologize. Mr. Chair, just a reminder, this is a committee bill. That was actually
That's okay. We like the sponsor, or I like the sponsor as well. He used to be my house friend. Okay, so any other questions come before the committee? All right, so the fiscal note is attached, and it's indeterminate, if I understand correctly. And pretty good explanation on that, and plus we discussed that as well. Okay, well, Senator Coghill, since you like this bill so much, you want the honors?
And it's the A version. That means it's unamended. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we move House Bill 150 out of committee, the version A, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay. Is there any objections? Seeing, hearing none, bill moves out of committee. So why don't we take a brief at ease while people sign the book. Why don't you go ahead and start the book around Christine. I'll just announce that, thank you, Representative Tuck and Kendra, for joining us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Committee member.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so can we have anything else to bring up at this time? Like I said, we had a few bills we wanted to bring back that were previously heard, not quite ready yet, so hopefully on Tuesday. We will meet again Tuesday. We're going to take up most of the time will be spent, though, on confirmations. So a lot of the committee time will be on hearing from Christine. Is it the fishing game? What the confirmations are we hearing?
Department of Administration.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Department of Administration, and I believe there's some others as well. So we'll do that. We'll bring up a couple bills previously heard, and if there's nothing else to come before the committee right now, then we will stand adjourned. The time is approximately 4 o'clock.